Our sermon tonight will be based in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Our Lord Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount. He has been teaching and preaching and miraculously healing, and now throngs of people are following him to see what else he will do, to hear more of his words of life, and themselves to be healed. This passage describes Christian attitudes, Christian lifestyles, instruction for giving, for prayer, and for fasting, and the identity of true treasure versus false, and where that true treasure is to be found. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the heart of it. From beginning to end, quite possibly the greatest sermon ever preached. Ever. In that true treasure that our Lord describes in the passage we're about to read, we find reason for peace in our hearts and in this world. Tonight's sermon I have titled, A Funeral for Your Anxiety. And I'm going to show you why as we read Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, going to verse 34. Hear now the life-giving word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May our Lord be blessed to give us understanding of his word. Russia has seized part of Ukraine. Islamists in the Middle East, Great Britain, and increasingly America are warring with everyone. Right here in this town, in this area, perhaps in this building right now, you're wondering how you're going to make ends meet. You're wondering if that job you were after will come through. or if that deal that you've worked on so hard for so long will ever actually happen. You've got worries. They're real worries in a real world. But you don't have to be anxious about them. You don't have to give them the strength of your being, because your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. And when we're done here tonight, you'll know that you can show gratitude for your treasure in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ here on earth. Show gratitude for your treasure in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ right here on earth. The kingdom of God has arrived. We're not waiting any longer. It is here. That's good news for the faithful, because Jesus Christ proved what was prophesied about him for so long and made it happen. It's bad news for God's enemies, because it's their final condemnation. The Jewish sects are watching and hoping for a political kingdom or for a warrior king who would come and slay those who were their enemies, who would come in and seize power and rule like every other ruler. That was not the plan of our Lord. The kingdom of Christ came as a man. The kingdom of Christ came as a man. John the Baptist declared in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2, and Jesus himself in chapter 4, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After 400 years of silence, the Messiah had come as promised. Now, how do we know that the kingdom had come? The Lord himself said so. He is the kingdom of heaven. How can that be? He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And when he came in fulfillment of Scripture, that meant the kingdom had indeed arrived. Right here, on earth, the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and he was fulfilling what he had promised, headed towards the cross to put the final period on the sentence that would execute the enemies of God and save every single one of God's elect for all time and all eternity. Now, what was that promise? Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 gives us the promise, the prophecy that our Lord fulfilled. Now, this is a famous passage, and I'm sure you'll recognize it as soon as I start to read it. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That was the prophecy fulfilled at the birth of Jesus Christ. The kingdom was at hand. In the RP Church, we have what are called distinctives, those things that make our denomination a bit different from others, that identifies us. And one of those distinctives is a strong belief in what the Bible clearly states. And even in the passage, the two verses I just read, the mediatorial kingship of Jesus Christ. He is king of this world, and all owe their allegiance to him. All men, all governments, now. Not yesterday or at some date in the future. Now. And Jesus himself said it. The kingdom is at hand. Seek first his kingdom by seeking Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is indeed the kingdom and the king, the fulfillment of prophecy, of Isaiah's words, and he is, than to seek the kingdom means to seek Jesus Christ. The center of our passage today is Matthew 6:33. Hear it again. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How do you seek the kingdom? Seek Jesus Christ. He is the kingdom. He is the way to the kingdom. But He said more than that. He said to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And you can find His righteousness displayed in His people. You can find the righteousness of God displayed in His people. Now, our Lord said that your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. He said this in chapter 5, verse 20 of Matthew. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And remember, this is urgent because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The Lord had been telling people that. His disciples had been telling people that. The prophets knew that. It was time. So, how do you get this surpassing righteousness? The Lord gives us an immediate picture of the kind of righteousness He's describing. Let me continue reading to you from Matthew chapter 5. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder will be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. A trait of righteousness that surpasses the scribes and Pharisees. I continue. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Have you ever heard of that happening? There are probably a dozen court shows on television. The news is constantly carrying stories of trials. How often do you hear, well, on the way to court, they made up and decided to drop everything? I don't know if I've heard it yet. That is a surpassing righteousness. I'll continue. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be, yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil. And the Lord goes on and on and on. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. You have heard it said that you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And on and on and on, describing that surpassing righteousness, surpassing that of the scribes and Pharisees, and the only way to enter heaven. Where is this righteousness to be found? Jesus Christ, and Him alone. Him alone. To gain the righteousness of God, to be this person, you must seek Christ first. So, to seek the kingdom of God first, you must seek Christ. To seek God's righteousness first, you must seek Christ. Christ is the answer. And you can see His righteousness reflected in your brothers and sisters who love Him. And if you need a greater relationship with Him, talk with them. Use them as an example. I often look at the brothers and sisters around me and wish that I were so holy. And they set an example for me. You set an example for me. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? What things? What is he talking about? What are the things that are going to be added unto us? Our Lord is good enough to tell us. Chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. Matthew 6, 7 to 13 tell us this. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What needs are stated in this passage? Immediately jumping right out at you. Verse 11. You need daily bread. You have to eat. Verse 12. Forgive us our debts. We need to be forgiven our debts. And we have a variety of debts. Personal, financial, relational, however it may be. We owe someone something. And we are told by the Lord, owe no man anything except the debt of love. Once it goes beyond that, we need that debt forgiven. Verse 13, we need freedom from temptation. Temptation is hard. It's a wrestling match every single day. It's a fight. And we need His power to be able to deal with it, because we can't do it in our own flesh. When you exercise the flesh to fight something, all you get is stronger flesh. We need Him to do these things for us. Verses 25 to 34 give us an even clearer idea. The immediate statements by our Lord right before saying this. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? We need food. We need water. We need clothing. These are the needs of life. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I appreciate what our Lord has said in verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek after all these things. The key to that is eagerly. Looking at this in the Greek, this is a term that describes a craving after something, an intense desire for a thing. If that is what drives us when we go to work, or when we go shopping, or when we do any of the daily things of life, we've missed it. We've missed it. We've succumbed. We've become like the pagans who eagerly crave after the daily things. Your Father knows you need them. He knows that you need them, and He will provide them. In fact, Christ adds them to your already existing riches. You have riches already. In Christ, you already are what He describes in the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. You are that beautiful person. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the gentle, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. This is you. Already, you have these blessings. You have the fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians 5:22, because you have the Holy Spirit living in you if you are His. You have all this already. So if you have all that and eternal life, how tough is it for the Father to put a shirt on your back? You fathers, how much do you love your kids? Would you see them go a day without food, without water, without clothing? Even when you have to discipline them because they've done something wrong, you don't leave them without the basic needs for life. That's cruel. It's cruel and unusual. It's not one of the things that you do. And even if we go an entire day without something to drink or something to eat, the first thing we do when we get the opportunity is drink and eat, because these are necessities of life. Fathers make sure their kids have those, so how much more the perfect Father, His children? Let me say this. I can be absolutely 100% certain that the Lord has lived up to His promise in your life. How can I be that certain? Because you're here. If there was one moment in your life where you didn't get what you need to live, you would not live, and you'd be with Him. So thank Him. Be grateful. Because no matter how much you think that you don't have, not only have you gotten the fruit of the Spirit, not only are you the Christian described in the Beatitudes, not only are you walking in righteousness, but you've received all the material things you need for daily life. You have. You absolutely have. And the Father's put it right into your hand. He's that good. So seek first, out of a thankful and satisfied heart. Out of a thankful and satisfied heart. Peace is yours. The Lord lives in you. You have access to God the Father through Him. And the Holy Spirit is within you to guide you and to be your sign and seal of salvation. In Psalm 34, the Lord is generous to give us the words by which we might seek Him first. And I'll just read a portion of this to you. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The psalm describes how you might seek Him first, and what it will look like when you do. And because of all this, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. This doesn't mean you sit around and wait for all your needs to just fall into your lap. You've got to go to work. You've got to earn a living. You've got to pay bills. But you don't have anxiety about these things, because the Father has taken care of them for you. And that is not in question. Never anymore. Very quickly, from 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read you this. This is a life belonging to God. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already is past, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, partings, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. When you have time, read further in Peter, and you will see what it looks like to put Christ Jesus first. And so if you've heard today to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, so that all those things will be added unto you, make today the funeral for your anxiety. Put it in the coffin, close the lid, shovel the dirt that comes from a life of blessing, the ground of peace, until it is not 6 feet deep, but 10 feet deep, and gone from your life. Show gratitude for your treasure in heaven by trusting Jesus Christ here on earth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have been better to us than we could ever thank you enough for. But we can put you first, and in our hearts now, Lord, we've decided we will. May you be glorified by our trust in you and what that says to a pagan world. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We will close with this.